Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rylan Wingerter. I use he, they pronouns, and I'm a practitioner. I'll be doing the morning prayer with the opening prayer with you. My ancestors, I have to say, I love this ancestry thing because I'm actually doing research. It's fun. My ancestors hail from Cherokee Nation, England, France, Germany, Ireland, Isle of Man, Jamaica, Netherlands, Scotland, Sweden, Wales. So as a practitioner, my purpose is to know the truth for all of you and for the world. And so that's what we do when we do prayer. So we have lots of ways we can serve you in that way. Anyone wearing a stole when you're here is able to speak with you, offer prayer with you. You can reach us through online, through the prayer vessel in the back, and there's many other methods that we have. Usually there's a slide up there that tells you about it, but you can find the information online. There it is. There it is. For right now, please join me in knowing there is only one divine presence, one power of love, of light, of joy, one spirit connecting all things. And we are born of that spirit, connected always to that presence of love, of light, of joy, of peace. And I know that we are here in that presence, in that space, as our divine selves, open in this community to the lessons, the insights, the awareness, the truth. And we hear that truth, we share that truth, we know that truth. And we take it out into the world by our very presence, by our words, by our deeds. We support each other and we support this world in love. And knowing that that is the truth, I am so grateful and I release these words. And so it is.
Thank you for picking the perfect song. Because if you were, you saw the words, I can't see them from over there, but I heard them. And isn't that scary? Singing through my voice? It took me, 68 years to join a choir? Play through my hands? Okay, that's happened sooner. May the way be opened? Oh, sugar. I should have made you kind of take a breath. You'd be human if you decided to take a breath after that song. Because that's what I'm talking about today. It's that we are humans having the spiritual experience or spiritual heaven, the human experience, but humans in there. And the human experiences got programmed millennia ago. Speaking of which, as I said, I'm Reverend Don Beatty. My pronouns are he and him. My heritage is Southern, North Carolina. I can't go further than that because I'm adopted and I have never done the test. But I know where I come from. And I think that's what we all want to be able to do. And so, now back to today's scheduled announcement message. What we're larking with this month, I'm just so happy that Home Office, the group that was creating all our talks for this year, decided to take a giant bite at the apple and bring up fierceness and fear and anger. When is the last time you saw that on one of the class curriculums? Yeah, it's about time. And we've had Abigail first week of the month kind of get us set up for what's coming. I love what Frank shared last week. The Rasha, the energy of these emotions, these experiences, claiming that for our good. I think we got something going here. And then you invite me to talk about fear. And I was talking about anger and got all excited, but then I found out it was fear. And after I got over that, I'm really glad I'm talking about fear. And fear is a four-letter word, starts with an F, that we use indiscriminately. It has multiple definitions that we don't use, and a lot we make up. And in culture, fear gets treated different ways. It's like in the masculine culture, you don't admit fear. No, you're weak. Working to change that. And as I said in first service up here, my wife and I are booking out of here after I'm done because we're going to CBEC for our CS Seattle's church camp that starts tonight. So, you know, I've added an hour to the drive, but it's worth it. But I lead the men's group while I'm there, and I've decided first night when we meet, we're talking about fear. Because it's something to bring into the room with spirituality and divine masculine. So don't tell them. Wait till they're on site. So I've looked at trying to describe fear, and there's not, I couldn't come up with a good one, but what I want to share is fear from personal experience as a way to help us separate fear into some components. So I want to talk about primal fear. Many years ago, I went to Washington, D.C. for a conference, and the hotel was just off the National Mall. So I think either I got there early enough or the thing broke early, and I said, I got time to go to the mall. I can walk. I can be a tourist. So I went over, and I went walking down the mall towards the Lincoln Memorial. That's kind of where I wanted to go. And I looked around at that time, and that was busier than a shopping mall. There were people playing soccer. They were playing softball, sometimes on the same field, throwing frisbees, kids playing, flag. There was just humanity having a blast on our National Mall, which was so beautiful. And I walked on and made it all the way down to the Lincoln Memorial, spent some time there. If you haven't been there, put it on your bucket list. But the energy inside that memorial is so deep and so powerful. If you get a chance, go sit in it. And then it's like, okay, the rain quit. Time to go back. Late afternoon. So I started back, same way I'd just come. And this was before cell phones, so I wasn't walking like this. And there's a point in there where all of a sudden my spidey sense said, hey, yo, pay attention. And I go, what? And then I became aware. I looked, and all those people that had been there when I went down, where'd they go? I didn't see a spaceship. They're gone. And then it was like, what do they know that I don't know? And so, but this feeling came up from within, and I honored it. I listened to it. I said, okay, something's changed. What's mine to do? And mine to do was to go from Southern Stroll, which takes a while, to the New York pace walk. Because what I realized, I just needed to go ahead and put some energy into walking and getting back to the hotel. Nothing happened to me. I never saw anybody else. But it was just honoring that spidey sense and saying, okay, something, you're concerned. Thank you. And we'll make due haste back to the hotel. But that's a primal. And I think we've all had experience where somewhere along the way something just inside says, yo, pay attention. And we honor that because that's a bit of fear that is giving us a gift, saying, hey, I'm watching, I'm helping, I'm taking care of you, and would you please help? Another fear, aspect of fear, aspect, aspect of fear can happen in different ways. I've shared my journey of how I got here from on my career path back in 1992. I want to pull part of that out to demonstrate fear. There was the day that I went into the, got to work, and the boss man, I wouldn't call him a boss, the guy who was in charge, called me into his office and said, "You're fired." Okay. That was last week's talk, because I left that room. I was angry. I went back to my office to get my stuff. I threw something. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't very big. But I was angry. I was experiencing anger. But I wasn't scared, because my experience was that whenever I got an opportunity or chose to change my job, I was not unemployed for very long. When I left that office that day and looking to get in touch with a headhunter, I had expectations that I would be choosing from among multiple offers within a few weeks. And then reality set in. When my headhunter said, "Hey, you're right. You're top rated. You're the top guy in your industry for what you do." And for their reasons, which I think were really kind of dumb, nobody will hire you. I was too good. And they had their reasons, but I never got a chance to answer the question. It was just like, wasn't an option. Now I move to the four-letter word, fear. Because now I'm going, oh, my severance wasn't that big. I've got a family, a mortgage, and I don't have income now. That got fear going. That's that fear that comes. It wasn't an event. It wasn't becoming a way of thinking. It was a concern. It was beginning to fill me up, if you will. Because I wanted to be able to provide, and I was looking at not being able to. In that fear, for me, was the place where it got my attention and got me to thinking. I just found Science of Mind like a year before. Didn't have all these cool tools, but I was like, all righty, let's take inventory. I put my sticky fingers all over this, thinking I could make this happen. I could get this, I would get a job fairly quick. That didn't work. The fear said, maybe you should try something else, like let God do it. And I'm like, really? Everybody thought about a prayer and said, God, do this? Nah, not a chance. That's your human side. But I managed to let go and say, okay, all right, I've done what I can do. I'm going to trust God and invite God, let God take this over and say, God, you know the situation. I ain't got to lay it out, but here's all the details. I need you to find me the place, the right ideal place for me to go to work. And I mean like now. And divine timing always has a purpose, so I didn't get to get out of that rut immediately. I got to steep in the fear a little bit longer. But then when the call came from the company up here in Seattle that said, hey, you want to come and join us in Seattle? I pretended like we needed to negotiate. Well, wouldn't you? And it was also, that and an answer, but it was, oh, and you're going to be doing marketing when you get here for us. I said, okay, not a problem. Inside I went, I've never done marketing, but I know I can learn. And so I immediately started doing my part to think how I would do the marketing for this company. And so it was a place the fear would catch me up, but it always brought a gift. It always brought something new to peace that I could then use and play with. So fear in culture is oftentimes something we are supposed to put away. Like in Science of Mind, the early days, you didn't mention fear. That's what you wanted to get prayed about. Because somebody would fix you. And because fear was a negative, we didn't understand the gifts that were in things like fear and anger. We just tried to, if we did the right spiritual practice, we'd just be okay. And I'm glad we're not doing just that all the time now, that we are opening up to the idea of the gifts of fear and how they can support us. Because there's another fear that I want to make sure we bring into the discussion, and it's the one Marianne Williamson wrote her beautiful poem about, the fear of how powerful we are, how powerful we can be, individually as in a group. Culture does like what we do to dandelions, to people who stand up in their power. They get mowed down a lot of times. So we've developed this fear of standing in our power. And I'm grateful to see people now standing in their power and who they are and their authenticity to raise their voices and support what they believe in and show and support what's important to them. That's the thing about, that's where fear comes in and reminds us to make sure that we know the direction we want to go and to spend the time to know what is going on within us whenever we want to make a change like that. When we look at fear as bringing a sacred gift, we treat it as a threshold. It's the song, the last song you sing, open, make the way open. Well, sometimes you walk to the edge of that open way and it's like, whoa, that's a long way down. But there's an uncertainty sometimes when we open up. And the human side likes a path. But the human side can work, we can work with our fear and to create our own path. But recognizing the fear and not so much fighting with it, but saying, how can we make this way open together? Fear can serve us as a compass. Compasses are, you ever watch one? They're always moving. You think it knows where it's supposed to point, but it's always doing this. So aren't we? We're kind of always, we want a direction we want to go, but we're always, for about every step forward, we do a couple little dance. And keep making sure we don't progress too fast, maybe. But we have that compass from fear that says, when a compass is pointing the wrong direction, you know to go the other way. Fear helps us with that. It can be like a compass. It can say you might want to stop and check and make sure you're on the path that you set out. So we claim the ideas of fear and being scared to let them give us the message they want to share with us. Just going back to our culture, if back when humans were dinner or lunch, fear and being scared had a real place in our existence. If something was moving in the bushes, we knew to go the other way. That's hardwired in, and we may as well use it. So when something causes that response within us, we simply do what we can to understand it, to let it give us a message. So how do we do that? Well, one thing to do is to bring curiosity into any situation you think there's fear or you're scared. To bring curiosity. Share a quote. Curiosity conquers fear even more than bravery. James Steffens. Curiosity is such an open way to approach anything that it allows us to move into a space of being receptive. And we can, with curiosity, we can then go back to prayer and say, okay, God, I don't understand. What would you please show me? Do the show me prayer. Show me what it is that you're guiding me into. Show me what is mine to be and do. Use curiosity. And because we know fear and being scared is part of our wiring, we can bring compassion for ourselves and for others who are scared. Because with compassion and curiosity, we can change the world. We can change ourselves first. And let that be a part of changing the world. But that compassion and curiosity are so powerful to help us find our center, to find our ground, to know where we stand and what we stand for. Now, honoring my title, those of you who came for the title only, not the presence of fear one, but the okay, now what? This is a tool that I invite you to consider when working with fear or anything else. First, the word okay. What's okay? Okay is basically, you just said the truth, I said the truth, this is the truth. That's what we're working with. Now, the thing about the truth, it may give you, what was it? It may free you, but it's liable to make you miserable in the process. There's a gift of, you know, the gift of the truth, but it creates the room for healing. The truth creates the room for healing. So that becomes now. Now is present moment. Where does everything happen? Present moment. Where's God? Present moment. So, okay, now. I said the truth. Present moment. What? This is where we name our good. If our good is, for me the other day was, climb this hill on my bike. That was my good at the moment. Because I was having an inner debate about whether I should get off or what. And I really wanted to climb it. Naming my good, talking to my body, and listening and say, well, maybe we can do it in segments. It's amazing how the body, I said, we just need to make it to the yellow sign. Oh, wait, now there's another yellow sign. The body was like, okay with that. If I thought of just getting to the top, it was, yeah, I saw the head shaking out there. It was saying no. So that's one of the things we can use, is just to stop, to name the truth, say, okay, this is what I know, this is my truth now. And now, present moment. And then say the what that I want to experience. And name it from that place and invite the divine to join you in naming that. So my invitation for you as you leave out of here today, is like I said, bring curiosity, leave judgment at home. Bring curiosity into the fear, into the what's going on at the moment. And from that place, listen. Ask, what's the gift of this emotion I'm experiencing right now? What gift is trying to be expressed for me or to me for me to maybe proceed towards? The good news, when I'm talking, is once you're in that place, it's small steps. Very small steps. Because one small step at a time will move you in the direction you want to go at a pace that is very easy to work with. Slow, what is it? Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Try it. But small steps in the direction you go. Culture would say, make the big leap. Oh, you want to do that? Just jump over there and get that. Somebody said, I'm not afraid of heights, I'm afraid of widths. That big leap, that's a little scary sometimes. And if you're in this place and on this journey, you're asking these questions, support. Get support. We've got practitioners. Is it this Sunday or that they're in service to support you? Whatever's up, both celebrations and challenges. They love praying. They want to pray. You're giving them a gift, letting them support you. So make the time after service to have support from the practitioners. And also trusted friends, your sanghas. And don't forget, trust your spidey sense. When the spidey sense goes off, what do? Stop. Go, okay. Now, what? All right. Great to go, everybody. Congratulations. You passed. And let's pray. And so I invite you to now join me in prayer, not necessarily by looking down, which is just fine, but I invite you to tilt your head up. Close your eyes if you'd like, but look up a little bit. For I call upon the passage in scripture that says, I will lift my eyes to the hills from which my good flows. I like that image. I like that looking up a little bit to the divine. And our humanness is wired to be receptive when we look up like that, to receive what is the divine's desire to give to us, what we have named as our good. So I speak my word in this space that we have created this morning, this space of love, of wisdom, of safety, that we can stand inside of it in our fears, in our scaredness, in our anger, whatever, and claim the good energy, the rasha, the good energy that's inside of each of these, and allow them to become part of who we are in a way that supports us. And we are still in charge of our lives. Fear doesn't run us. We do. We move in and allow Spirit to support us with what we need to be fully resourced, to accept this wisdom, to move through our lives in a space when we have challenges and we may have fears, that we are fully resourced in the energy and love that we need to continue our path, to continue those small steps. And I'm grateful for this community as a light into this area, a light of love, of safety, of care, of divine wisdom that can help, support, and guide us through all times, through the good times and the challenging times. And I'm grateful for each of you for allowing me to share this morning and for all of us to be blessed by the divine, for I know it is God's great pleasure for each of us and all of us to thrive in love and life and safety. And together we affirm that by saying, and so it is. Blessings. Thank you.